You're listening to a podcast service of Ecclesia Baptist Church in Fairview, North Carolina. You can visit us on the web at www.ecclesiabaptist.org.
Morning. Good morning. Is there any visitors this morning? No. So I don't have to introduce myself. I guess you already know me. Every time I go to the jail, people want to know, who are you, Mario? Because every Monday, it seems to me that we often have new guys in there, new fishers. And they want to know, they see me, it's like, who are you? They want to know where I come from. Why are you here? Why you came to America? They want to know. Just like when I went to the pastor, with Pastor Stephen to this, what was it, Mitchell University, something like an elevating preaching conference. I was surrounded by a bunch of preachers. And they were looking at me, like, who are you? And I say, no, one of the stones of the building is rejected. And they want to know why I'm here. Why did you come to America? And if people would have asked me that, about 35 years ago, I would have lied. I would have lied because I was so embarrassed to tell the American people why I came to America. And I would have said something like, well, I came here because as an exchange student, I wanted to be a psychologist. And some people, you know, big lie. That was a lie, you know. And it wasn't until I received Jesus Christ into my life, into my heart, that God started dealing with me little by little. Don't lie like that. Tell them the truth. And I said, Lord, are you going to be with me if you're telling the truth? If they mock me and call me names and call me, quote, unquote, illegal alien, are you gonna be with me if you're telling the reason why I came to America because I was starving? Are you gonna be with me, Lord? If they really kill me and they call me names and they said, you know, get out of here, you don't belong here. Are you gonna be with me if you're telling the truth? And God says, yeah, I'm gonna be with you. I'm gonna be with you. And I said, well, if it is true you're going to be with me, you got to give me a sign because I just don't understand this. And as God is my witness, I used to belong to another church, big church, 6,000 members, 4,000 members perhaps. And I never felt comfortable in that church because they always used to tell me, sit in the back. I want to see right here. No, this is ready and reserved for special people. And it's like, are you serious? You don't know who I am, do you? But see, watch this. You got to know who you are in Christ. Otherwise, you're going to spend the rest of your life not fitting in this society. So to make this long story short, God started dealing with me. Little by little, this is who you are. Society may tell you, you don't belong here, but I chose you. Before I give you my message, I want to thank you guys, leaders of this church, Pastor Stephen. The more I hang around with him on Mondays, the more I come to love him for who he is. And I'm not saying this because Michelle is here. I thank God that he sent him here because he is indeed a man of God. He is indeed a man of God. The passion and the love that he has for the lost soul, it just blows me away. If you're hungry for those who have not heard the gospel yet, I'm going to hang around with you. But if you're not hungry to get out of your comfort zone, your crib, and you are so set up, and you just You just want to live your life for yourself. I don't want to hang around with you. I like you, but see you, don't want to see you. Okay? And those are one of those things that I want you to understand. As he called me yesterday, you know, I said, sure, I'll preach. And he didn't ask me why. I'm supposed to name my title, my message. So I started saying, Lord, how can I name this message? You know, I got so many ways to name my message, but I chose harvest time. It is harvest time. When somebody preached to me that 25 years ago, I didn't understand that. He was pointing at me, Mario, it's harvest time. I said, what are you talking about, preacher? I don't know what it means. Harvest time. In the gospel, after Jesus had talked to the Samaritan woman, the disciples came and they saw him talking to this outcast woman. Outcast. And they were telling him, Master, you got to eat. Teacher, you got to eat something. And Jesus says, I got some food to eat that you do not know nothing about it. And so, probably somebody brought him food to eat already. And Jesus says, no. No. Open your eyes. Jesus said, open your eyes and look into the fields. The harvest is ready. It's ready. Now I understand. It took me 53 years to forget to open my eyes. 53 years. But God already knew what he was going to do. 53 years. Now I understand what harvest means. Church, listen to me. We just saw a whole bunch of children out there. And these children have not heard yet that God is a loving father. God is not a monster. God is a loving father, and he loves you. This is my testimony, that he loves you. You are not a mistake. See, when I came into this world, I didn't choose to come the way I did. Who wants to come into this world to die like a dog? I don't want to live like this. And I often ask God this question. Actually, let me take it back. I didn't know that there was a God. You know why I love this nation? Because this nation is one nation under God. You know why I love this church? Because this church opened the doors for me and they received me just as I was. You know why I'm so passionate about my church? Because I love my church. I was minding my own business at work. Here comes this young kid. I did not want to come to church again because I was already knew what my calling was. Here comes, he invited me to come in. People often ask me, how long you been a member of the Ecclesia? I said, I don't know. Because I don't know. I don't keep track. When I came here, my thinking was, the moment I got out this door, I will never see you again. And as God is my witness, when I came here, I was walking all through those doors out there by myself, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Boom, just like that. Bang! Someday you're going to be preaching here. God is my witness. I'm not lying to you. I was walking through all these doors, and the Holy Spirit said to me, you're going to preach here. I got God as my witness. And I heard that voice, and I said, whoa. Because I never heard voices like this before in my whole life. It was the Holy Spirit. We have some work to do at church. And as long as God gives me breath, I will take this gospel. Whatever God sends me, because I'm no longer scared. Because when God says, I'm going to be with you, he will be with you. And God will never forsake you. God will never leave you nor forsake you. My mother abandoned me. Not because she didn't love me. Because God already set up a plan for my life. It's not because she didn't love me. You cannot give away something that you don't have. My mother was abandoned and abused as a child. So from one generation to another generation, she was doing the same thing. However, she only did it to me. And I always asked myself this question, why, Lord, why? Why did I have to go through hell? Because God had already set it up for me. If someone would have said to me when I was 6 or 7 years of age that I was going to stand in here and preach to you, I said, how is that going to happen? I've never been in school. God is not interested about your education. God doesn't care if you're a man or a woman. Right there at the conference, the experts, they asked the experts, because they had a line of experts, and the audience were asking questions. And they ask, this is the question they ask, is it okay if a woman preach the gospel? God doesn't care. The question is, do you have the integrity to preach? God doesn't care if you're black or blue, pink or white, whether you have your PhD or not. Do you have the integrity? And in our days, there are so many people out there who are preaching, but they don't have the integrity. You have to have integrity. And the more and more I see the leaders of this church, how hungry and the integrity they have. I want to be with them. I want to be just like them. It's not just, well, it's just Brother Jerry, or just Pastor Stephen, or Pastor Stan, or David. No. No, 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 no. You can talk all about me, whatever you want, but don't talk about my leaders because I know their integrity. I'm telling you the truth. Open your eyes and look into the fields. Ripe, ready for harvest. Here's principle number one. Remember this. If you just content by being safe, that's fine. Well, that's not okay. But God has chosen you to do more than just being satisfied and content. Remember when Jesus was hungry? And he saw this fig tree way from far away? And people often said to me, Mario, Jesus was mean. Oh, yeah, he was mean sometimes. But I didn't get it. Jesus saw the fig tree. And here's God walking to the fig tree because the scripture says it was early in the morning and he was hungry. He was hungry. And he looked at the fig tree and are you serious? Only leaves, and he kept looking at the tree, and there were no fruits. And the moment he saw it, you will never bear fruit again. And the scripture said that the tree just died. You know why the church is dying? Do you know why there's no power in the church today, church? We have lost the passion. There's no more passion. There's not the fire. And it's not that Jesus was rude and mean. The question is, how long have you been a Christian? How long have you been a Christian? And there's still no fruits. I said, Lord, I didn't know this thing. Nobody gave me the scriptures. Nobody told me about you. How can I know you when I don't even know you? You want me to love you. I don't even know what love is. Be careful what you ask for. Because God will show you what love is. For God so love. It's no longer about me, it's about him. Him who died on the cross. Look at the cross. It is foolish, the scripture tells us. Foolish. But the more you humble yourself and look at the cross, the more you get close to God, the closer he's going to get to you. But if you're going to come to church once a month, if you're going to come to church just when you are, preacher, give me some kind of drugs because I cannot make it through Monday or Tuesday, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. You got to be constantly in the presence of God daily. Therefore, you have to carry your cross daily, every day. It's not just half an hour or a week. There's no way I'm going to make it. If I listen to Pastor Stephen for half an hour, I'm not going to make it for this kind of call that I have received from God. I've got to stay in his presence constantly, every day. I have to carry my cross. Therefore, you have to die to yourself. Die. God says that unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Take a look at me, church. This is not me. Look what God has done. Look what God has done. I can testify to you that God is alive. God is alive. Second principle, you are chosen people. God has chosen you. The scripture tells in the book of Deuteronomy, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord has chosen you out of all the people, out of the face of the earth, to be his treasure possession. If you don't know this, if you're going to rely by me telling you this, you don't know that for yourself, that you are a treasure possession, you're not going to make it. You will get to heaven. Because you will get to heaven. But you're missing out, church. You're missing out. In heaven, there are rewards. Cindy, in heaven, there's a reward waiting for you. There's a reward waiting for you. And I'm looking forward for that reward. I'm looking forward for that. And the moment I get my reward, I'm going to say, Lord, I did it for you. For you. I don't care. Well, I do care. But you know, do you know what I mean, church? Gosh, I'm running out of time. I haven't preached yet. In the book of Daniel, the prophet Daniel, chapter 10, and I'm going to read it to you. I don't have time. I'm running out of time. This is what God says to Daniel. Daniel, the moment and the day you set your mind, the day that the first day you set your mind to humble yourself, God heard you. The first day. I was gonna come and tell you before, but the enemy were attacking me. But I'm here to tell you that your answer has been prayed. Set your mind. Set your mind. Therefore, the scripture tells us, since you have been raised with Christ, set your mind on things above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your hearts on things above, not on earthly things. For you have died. And your life is now hidden with Christ, with God. Set your mind, set your heart. Therefore, as a living sacrifice, as a living sacrifice, the scripture tells us in the book of Romans chapter 12, you offer your life, not as a dead body. The dead can no longer praise God. You have a living body. You are a chosen people. As God chosen people, the scripture tells us, you are rejected, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him. So you are being built into a spiritual house. You are a house. You are the temple now. The problem is that we are surrounded by two worlds. And I cannot make up my mind. In which world am I going to live? Am I going to live in the pleasure that this world has to offer me? Or am I going to live into the world that God has assigned for me? You got to make up your mind. Where are you? Are you in this world or in the other world? Because the scripture says, do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. But I'm still here. Everything is permissible to me, the Apostle Paul said. Everything. I can have all the women in the world if I want to. I can have all the money, sex, drugs, all kinds of stuff that the world has to offer me, but I don't want it. That's why we were singing that beautiful song, all I want is you. All I want is you. All I want is you, Daddy. Daddy, my heart is steadfast to God. All I want is you, oh God. That's the one I want. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. 5 more minutes and I'll. Man, I feel so good today. We were preaching about the persistent widow, the tax collector, and the other one. I haven't talked to Jerry about it. I didn't know what he was going to teach today. I didn't have no idea. And this guy says to me, this is how you're going to close. Wow. And when Brother Jerry started preaching about it, I said, whoa, wait a minute. God is good. To some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went out to the temple to pray, one Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like Mr. Mario. Like the other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, da-da-da. But the tax collector stood at a distance. Lord, have mercy on me. I am a sinner. I'm not worthy to carry this gospel. I don't feel worthy of your calling. But I thank you that you have chosen me way before my mother conceived me. Way before. I'm not worthy to do this, Lord. Why do you want me? Please, Lord, I'll do something else, but I don't want to preach this. But if you want me to, Lord, I don't care. I'll do it. As long as your presence goes with me, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Remember this, Lord. This nation is your people. And where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Can you say that? Can you humble yourself and say, you know what, Lord, I'm not worthy to untie your shoes. I'm not worthy to untie your sandals. But you know what? I'll do it, Brother Andrew. I don't want to do this, man, but oh, how beautiful are the feet to those who bring the good news. Church, it is harvest time. I came to this nation because I didn't want to be poor. I came here to make myself rich. I don't want it. I don't want your cereal. I don't want your bread. I don't want your milk. I no longer want your honey. I just want to know, for what purpose, Lord, did you create me? For what purpose? This is the will of God for me to show you that if you humble yourself, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. Take your cross. Take your cross. The moment you get out of this store, Lauren, you gotta take your cross, baby. Gotta take your cross. Don't settle down for mediocrity. You're better than that. Take your cross. It's not as easy as it was advertised. Ooh, I am telling you. It's not easy. I have been crucified with Christ. I die daily. Can you say amen? You too, bro. God is not done with you yet. The world may tell you you are this and you are that, but God has chosen you. Don't let anybody tell you this is who you are. Are you crazy? Where's Daniel? There you are. You want me to keep preaching, bro? Because I'm full of fire right now. My gosh, I can preach for the next 3 hours. You know why? Because I am anointed. I'm anointed to do this. I don't have to struggle. What am I going to say? You are anointed too. Don't wait for Pastor Stephen or Brother Jerry or the leaders to tell you we got some work to do. You know we have some work to do. Can you say amen? Are you ready, bro, Jan? Whatever sin you got in mind, bro. It's 12 o'clock. God told Moses, what do you have in your hand? Stick. Well, throw them on the floor. God says to me, what do you have in your hand? Pen. Doesn't do me any good. I got to speak to you from my heart. That's the only way I can preach to you. When I go and preach, I always make sure that people understand the only way I'm going to preach to you is from the heart. I don't have my PhD, my master's degree, but God, oh my God, God. So Lord, I pray in the name of my Lord Jesus Christ that my brothers and sisters have heard you through me. I'm just the clay, Lord, the cheap vessel that you chose before the creation of the world to come to Ecclesia and to let them know that the harvest is plentiful. My prayer, Lord, is that you will open not their physical eyes, but the hearts. It's all about the heart, Lord. My prayer, Lord, is that you will bless them, protect them. My prayer, Father, is that always be with them because you love them. My prayer, Father, is that I have done everything to the best of my knowledge. I have given them the gospel, the good news. that you no longer are, that you're no longer dead, but you rose. You rose from the dead. And I thank you for the most beautiful gift ever given, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father.